my new one that I tell them now is that I work for a muffler shop. I say that I work for Midas Mufflers, and that way they don't want to talk to you anymore because nobody cares about mufflers.
But if you had told them what you really do, that you make your living from comedy?
Uh-huh.
What happens?
I've definitely done that. That's a recipe for disaster because that means you're going to have to talk to them for the entire flight because everybody wants to know about stand-up comedy and how it works. And after a while, it gets kind of old, you know, talking about it. And they want you to put on a show.
Well,
they
that's what I was going to show. I was going to ask if anyone ever wants you to do something for free that you make your living doing.
Oh, absolutely. People, you know, as soon as they find out you're a comedian, they're like, oh, well, tell me a joke. You know, if I met you, Kyle, and I found out you were a radio guy, I wouldn't say, oh, do a radio commercial for me, you know, produce a radio spot right now, you know?
Right.
It's just a silly thing. It's like if you met a plumber and he's like, oh, I'm a plumber, you wouldn't say, oh, well, come on over. My toilet's not flushing right. Can you take a look at that, you know? It's just an odd thing.
What you observe, what you talk about, what you make people laugh about is all over the place. So you must be looking at things all the time for material, whether it's subconscious or conscious, I would imagine.
I think every comic does. I mean, I'm waiting for you to say something stupid right now that I can turn into a joke. You know, I mean, it's really unfortunate that once you decide to make stand-up comedy your profession, you start looking at everything completely differently. You can't, it's almost hard to enjoy a normal life because you're constantly analyzing everything, looking for material, and, you know, we just look at everything from a different view.
Do you have to have thick skin to do this job?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first 2 years, I was terrible, you know? I mean, first 2.5 years, I watched some of those old tapes from when I first started, and I'm not even sure what the audience is laughing at. I mean, nothing I said was funny. I looked completely uncomfortable on stage. But, yeah, it's definitely a process. You definitely have to learn how to do it. And if you don't like people not laughing at you, this isn't the business because, you know, I didn't get a lot of laughs in the beginning. But then, you know, it's a slow process. Every show you get just a little tiny bit better. You know, you just get incrementally better every single show. And, you know, after 15 years, that all adds up and it all kind of shows in my performance and the kind of comedian I am now. I'm a million times different than I was, you know, 13 years ago, 12 years ago, so...
You know,
it's all an evolution. Everybody starts in the same spot. I don't care what any comedian tells you. The first time you go up, you're not funny. You know, you're not funny for a while. You have to learn how to do it, and a lot of it is a confidence thing. And you only gain the confidence by doing it over and over and over.
Do you break down other comedians or other things that are funny?
As far as do I like watch other comics?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, I watch everything I'm constantly looking at other people's material to find out how they came up with it, and you know, there's a lot of stuff in this business that they're called saturated topics. You know, it's like if you talk about flying on a plane, and you know, you talk about the peanuts that they give you on the plane, that's considered a saturated topic, and you know, because everybody's done a bit on that. So, you know, when I'm watching another comic, I'll watch for bits like that have been done, and then. What really makes me happy is when I see a comedian go up and do something that I've never heard before. I've never heard the premise. I've never even heard anyone make a joke about it. It's just, you know, that's the kind of stuff that really, you know, that I really like to see. And it's the same that when I think of something that I think is funny and I run it by a bunch of comedian friends, you know, and I'll ask them, have you ever heard anybody do anything even close to this? And if they all say no, then I know it's going to be a decent fit.
You have material that people can hear of yours all the time. People can, you know, get some of your stuff on iTunes.
Yeah, I have the 3 albums on iTunes, and then Rooftop Comedy, which is my record label. They have an amazing site. It's just rooftopcomedy.com, and you go on there. I mean, they probably got like 20 different video clips of me, and because they set up cameras in comedy clubs around the country, and then they just randomly pull material from those comedy shows and put it on their site. And it's really been an awesome tool. There's a ton of videos on there. You can even just go to YouTube and put in Mike Merrifield, and there's a bunch of videos on there, too.
Yeah, and I did that, and I've wondered what the digital age means for stand-ups, because it used to be, you know, decades ago, that unless it was a big star, unless you were Richard Pryor, George Carlin, or someone like that, you didn't know who the comic was, and you'd see the material, and it was fresh. Now, you can do something at a club, I don't know, in upstate New York, And within a day, I, in Northwest Arkansas, have seen it and laughed. Does that put more pressure? You said you like doing new material anyway, but that puts a little bit more pressure on the stand-up professional in general, doesn't it, to keep coming up with new material?
Yeah, we're the only ones, it seems like the comedians are the only ones that are always pushing for new material. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time somebody came and saw me, and they're like, hey, do that old bit you used to do about, you know, the Blue Jays being your high school mascot, or do that old bit, you know, they get upset when you don't do the old material. And it makes sense. I mean, if you go see, you know, if you go see your favorite band, you want them to play your favorite songs, you know. And you'll actually hear of people getting upset when comedians don't do the same material over and over. So it seems like the audience, like, I'm a big Brian Regan fan. Brian Regan's like my favorite comedian ever. And I could watch Brian Regan do the same bit over and over every day of my life, and I would never get sick of it. I would never not laugh at it. That's just the way Brian Regan is. He's just so funny, you know?
Right.
But for us personally, as comedians, like I said earlier, we get so bored with doing the same material, we have to write new stuff. And we feel like, I mean, after a while, if you're just doing the same material for 20 years, you've just memorized a script, and you're just, you know, you're just basically reciting a script every night on stage. You're not engaging with that audience. You're not, you know, you're not really doing anything special except reciting an act that you wrote 20 years ago. There's a lot of veteran comics from the 80s that started in the 80s that are still doing the same exact act they were doing 25 years ago. And, you know, when I started, I vowed that I'm never going to be that guy. You know, if you see me once and then you see me 2 years later, I better be doing all new material 2 years later. Otherwise, what am I doing it for? You know, I didn't get into this to just recite written material. I got in this to engage with the crowd and make them laugh and really have like an experience with every show. I don't just stand up there and recite my jokes. I try to make it an experience for myself and for the crowd. And that's the other, you know, I drive 15, 16 hours to get to a gig. I'm going to make it fun for me. You know, I'm going to do everything I can to make it an enjoyable show and a memory, something that people will remember.